Pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning, boy. Things are starting to fall into line here a little bit. I was up early this morning. Normally when I get wakened up early in the morning, it's over some trouble in my spirit in regards to something I'm going to bust out here on the show, but it's a little different last night. The Lord got me up. I was up about 4 o'clock this morning and getting a couple of emails, getting ready for all hands on deck coming up this weekend. And of course, it's amazing how your mind works. And I had a good night's sleep and I'm laying there and all of a sudden, boom, 4 o'clock, my eyes are open and I couldn't go back to sleep. I tried counting sheep. I tried everything I could to try to go back to sleep. In 5 minutes, I knew, nope, time for me to get up. I was able to do some emailing, some different stuff. Things are really, really beginning to fall into place in regards to all hands on deck. Listen, hey, folks, listen. I said this before, and I heard from some of you. I have an incomplete list of people who are coming. I have an incomplete list. I mean, I know. See, some of you out there right now saying, well, he knows I'm coming. I think I do, but I don't know. If you are coming, text me or email me. So just from a number standpoint, okay, that's all I'm worried about. And don't, if you can't make it, that's okay. You don't have to apologize to me. I've heard from some of you. Don't apologize, but I do need to know who is coming. So from a number standpoint, food standpoint, transportation standpoint, housing standpoint, where you're staying, all that kind of stuff. Momentum is really, really, really building. It's gonna be great. We got a great, great weekend planned. It's going to be edgy. It's going to pull you out of your comfort zone. It's going to, I want to say this publicly, just so that we have this on record, okay? Because it's my experience that the enemy is going to show up and they're going to try to entice us or lure us into doing something that we don't know. So if I'm just going to say this, if you are coming to this event and you have any plans of any violence or anything in any way that's going to damage or hurt somebody or hurt property or anything like that, don't come and be part of it. We're not for that. That's not what we're about. That's not what we're about. So if that's your plan and you've infiltrated and you're going to come and you're going to put on a cross hat, and you're going to go down there and you're going to act like a fool, don't come. That's just a disclaimer, okay? We're going to go down there and we're going to be bold and we're going to be loud and we're going to be, it'll be a great time, but we are going down to lift up the name of Jesus. Okay. We're not going down there to tromp on homosexuals. We're not going down there to tromp on Islam. We're not going down there. None of that. We're going to go down there and lift up the name of Jesus. So, you know, you say, Coach, that sounds funny from a guy who's always talking about righteous anger. Well, yeah. And you have to be able to control it. If you can't control your righteous anger, then don't show up, okay? So we're excited about it. A lot of guys are falling in place, doing some great things. So listen, if you're coming, please let me know, all right? Say, Coach, I know you already know I'm coming. You can't plan on it, okay? And some of you, I've got some information. Some of you coming in like on Wednesday night. I got some guys coming in on Wednesday, which is okay. But I need to know. Because you're going to lay your little head down someplace, and I want to make sure that we got plenty of space. Everything's good. We got plenty of space. But just from a logistical standpoint, I need to know. And, Jeff, if you got any guys up there, come. I need to know. Some of those guys going to show up downtown with us on Friday? I need to know that just from a numbers standpoint so we know what we're dealing with. And I'm excited about it. We were at Pastor Mike Spaulding this weekend. Over in Lima, Ohio, for his Go Ye Therefore conference. It was great. I tried to Facebook Live as much of it as I could with Russ Dizdar. Tom Dunn, oh my God, Tom Dunn was good. You always run into, I find it in sports. When the game starts, players show up. Say, what do you mean? Well, sometimes you don't recognize some. We call them gamers. You know what I'm saying? They're gamers. They don't look real good in practice. But the next thing you know, when you get in the game, they're making every tackle. They're making every play. We had some gamers show up. And I'm talking about people sitting in the audience who are gamers. Gamers. And then we were able to touch some people who probably aren't going to be with us this weekend. But I'm telling you, fellas, this idea of taking it to the streets is growing. It's growing. And we're just getting started. So I'm excited about that. Pastor Mike Spaulding had a great, great event. I met some new friends. I met some people who watched the show. Pastor Mike Spaulding, he streams the show one day a week, I think it is. People listen to our show over there. People know what's going on. We just had a great encouraging week. And David Arthur was awesome again when he spoke on Saturday. He was good. Mark Trump. Oh my goodness. You guys make me proud. Make me proud. And here's what I know. We got some players, boys, and the Lord is building a team. And it's a team outside the church. I'm just telling you, the team is outside the church. Now, there are some churches. There's some good churches and some good pastors. But what's going on, for the most part, is not happening inside the church. It just isn't. And one, before I get too deep in this, this is one of the things that I asked several times this weekend. Casper McLeod was good. Who am I forgetting? There are Kelly and I forget Kelly's husband. Oh, Lord, help my brain. We're good. Here's one.
Preston.
Thank you, David. Preston. Where is our spiritual intellectual curiosity? Where is it? You know what's happening? I'm going to tell you. Some of you folks are hanging around people in your churches who have no intellectual curiosity. They think they've got their box and they think that's it. And you come and you listen to 40 minutes of Russ Dizdar and you think, oh my God. David Heavener was unbelievable. He was unbelievable. He was unbelievable. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Where is our intellectual curiosity? The Christian people you are hanging around, where is their curiosity? Where are they? I think of Jamie from Mount Vernon. Jamie's wife comes down there. She brings her daughter with them. They have some intellectual curiosity. And they're wondering the same thing. Where are all these people? Why is there no? Why can't we look? Why are we afraid to look outside the box? Are you content? Would you want to eat oatmeal every morning? Why do you go to church and eat oatmeal morning after morning after morning? Why don't you understand that the battle going on in the world is for the whole cosmos? It's not just for your house, your family, your church, your community. The battle is for the world. And to think if this battle is for the world, does that not mean that our opponents must have worldwide influence as well? Where is your intellectual curiosity? The scripture says, don't be ignorant of his devices. Why do you want to remain ignorant? Why do you want to stay in that box? My goodness. I'm sitting in there and listening to Russ Dizdar and listening to David Heavener and listening to David Arthur thinking, there ought to be a million people here. About to be a million. I'm going to calm down a minute. Somebody help me out. Where's the intellectual curiosity? Where is it? Hey, hang on. Thank you, Lord. I heard that. Ooh, I heard the Holy Spirit on that one. Some of you are sticking your head up out of the box, and there are those around you who keep pulling you back into it. Somebody come in there. Tell me I'm not crazy.
Coach, I enjoyed watching what I could live. I will say this, when you said why and where, I believe it's prophesied in the book of Amos, and he said, and there will be a famine in the last days, but not a famine of food, but of the very word of God.
Amen, buddy. Amen. Dale, I'm telling you, that stuff, I'm saying, David Arthur, you were there. Listen, David, I don't want you to say anything other than, were you riveted to your seat or not? When every guy came up, was your faith built or was your faith diminished?
It was built. It was just encouraging. Every single aspect that everybody had to speak on, whether you agree with all of it or not, it doesn't matter. It was encouraging and it was revealing and it exposed so much that nobody gets anywhere outside of those four walls.
And they don't want to get it, David. They don't want to get it. By the way, great new studio you're sitting in front of, David. My goodness. Will you guys look at that?
Lord, that is all the Lord.
Look at that studio he's sitting in front of. Holy smokes, what's going on here? So it's intellectual curiosity. And you know what? Listen, I'm going to keep dropping breadcrumbs, but I ain't going to come back after some of you, okay? If you want to sit down there, if you want to sit in the low-level Christianity, then you go ahead and sit there. I ain't coming back after you. I'll drop some breadcrumbs. You can follow, but I'm telling you, we're going somewhere because there are some of us who recognize that we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places. That the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of those strongholds. And that the scriptures say, go ye, not come ye, go ye. It never says come and gather in a church. It says get out of that church and go, take your faith. Show them your faith, and if you are still dragging around, then you enjoy the bread I'm dropping, but I ain't waiting around anymore. You're going to have to make a decision. You're going to sit around, and your eyes are being opened, and some of you still are waiting for blind guides to direct you. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm speaking prophetically to you right now. Some of you are still counting on blind guides. The same guys in charge of getting us in this mess ain't going to get us out of it. And you still will not break free from those blind guides. And you don't have to follow me. You follow whoever you want to. But I'm telling you, things are Mark Trump was amazing again yesterday, whatever day that was, talking about artificial intelligence and Russ Dizdar making a connection to what's, oh my goodness. Take a chill pill, Coach. I was very calm when I came down here. I was very calm. It just frustrates me to no end. But I'm just going to share this. But you know, I got about 10 emails. I'm not making this up. I got about 10 emails from people saying, hey, Coach, quit apologizing for who you are. Thank you. I'm done doing it.
Hey, Coach. Hey,
follow the breadcrumbs. Eat the damn breadcrumbs if you want. I'm going somewhere. Yeah, George.
You know, it makes me think the student will never be greater than the teacher. You're only as good as the information you get.
Amen.
And the truth is most people are getting very limited information, and then they're not acting on it.
They're happy with the limited information because they can sit safely and secure inside that box.
Yeah. They're content.
Now, listen, I'm going to tell you this. Lord, I thank you, Lord. Some of you keep running into people whose eyes are open, and then you reject it because you want to run back to the security of the box. The Lord is bringing across your path people who get it, and you will not unhitch. Somebody say amen, because I know I'm telling you the truth. I'm in Lima, Ohio, and I can't believe the people the Lord has brought there. And you get every one of them up. And every one of them are going to tell you the same story. I don't know how I got here. It was supernatural. The Lord brought me here. The Lord connected me. And some of you still got your leash on. You still got your leash on, and you won't go because you're afraid of what the people you're hanging around with are going to say about you. Hey, I'm dropping the breadcrumbs. Maybe you'll catch up with us here at some point. Amen. Somebody say amen, Coach.
Amen, Coach.
Amen, Coach. I just know that I'm telling it like it is, and I don't care. I'm done apologizing. Looking here. Go ye there. All hands on decks coming up. I don't know why you wouldn't come. Now, listen, I know some of you can't. But I know some of you have no reason why you can't come. And can you tell me why you won't come? If you have a legitimate reason, okay. I get it. But some of you just ain't coming just because you ain't coming. That's why when Rob Pugh came up with all hands on deck, there was an urgency to it. All hands on deck. There's an urgency, times in which we live. Yeah, some of you can still come. You can still come. Yeah. And you know what else? Some of you could send us some money. Yes, send us some money. We got expenses. We don't need your money. I don't need your money. But it would help It would help some guys that are coming. It would help with gas. It would help with food. It would help with all the literature that I've had to accumulate to hand out. It would help with all that. You can help. That's all I'm going to say about that. Well, let me see. Okay. No spiritual curiosity. None. Ain't nobody curious at all. Nobody curious. And Mark Trump, and it is like welded inside my mind that this book right in front of me here is data. I can't get away from it, Mark. It's data. And what we are told in this book is just the surface of what's in the book. Does that make sense? What we're told in the book is merely the surface of what's really in the book. And if we could go deeper, if we could go to Hebrews 11 real quickly. I did this before last week, but I'm going to do it again this week because I think it's appropriate. I think it's appropriate. What did I say? Hebrews 11? Jared will get it up here for me. Bear with me. Bear with me. Hey, I'm through apologizing. Jared, go down to about 18, I think it is. Let's start right. Keep on going. Hang on. There you go. There you go. Sit right there. Whoa, keep going. We're talking about faith Hall of Fame. Going down the next one. By faith. Keep going. I'm talking about Moses and all these people we've heard of. By faith, through Jericho fell, Rahab fell. Keep going, Jared. By faith. Okay, here we go. Here comes some data. And someday are they going to talk? Someday when they write the next version of the Bible, if that ever happens, are they going to be talking about by faith some men gathered in Columbus, Ohio, and by faith some men gathered in Temple, Texas, and by faith, some men gathered in Wausau, Wisconsin, or wherever that is up there, Rob, wherever you are. By faith, are they going to say that? See what he's saying, Coach. These are all data points. By faith, the harlot. Where am I? What more shall I say? Verse 32. Here comes some data. For the time would fail to tell me of Gideon. Hey, there's data there. Can you imagine the life of Gideon and the stories he'd be able to tell? A lot of data there, not included here. And of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David and Samuel and of all the prophets. A lot of data there. He said, man, this guy's got a story. We don't know the stories. Well, they sure got them. But what were the stories? Why, through faith, they subdued kingdoms. That's plural. Who did? Who's they? What do you mean they subdued kingdoms? They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of the lion. I'd like to hear about that. I'd like to hear it. Maybe we will someday in heaven, sitting around the campfire telling the stories. Maybe we'll have the chance to do it. But it's all data, and it's all individual people who actually did something. They actually did something, and they did something, and he doesn't even tell us their names. We don't even know who they are. What if it says, by faith, Serge from Buffalo? By faith, Craig from Shell Knob or Snell Mob or wherever you're from. By faith, Jeff from Nevada. And by faith, Rob from Wisconsin. And by faith, George from Oklahoma. And by faith, Larry from South Carolina. And by faith, Coach from Ohio. That's, do you see this? This is what's here. This is what's right in front of us. And they don't even tell us their names. Not that it wasn't significant. I'm going to tell you this. It wasn't that what they did. See, what Samson did was significant. Pulled down those pillars and killed all those people. That was significant. But see, just as significant was every one of these guys. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured. Boy, there's some stories there, aren't there? We don't even know who they are. But can you imagine the stories? If we could hear of those guys that were tortured? Go on down, Jared. Some quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, they were made strong. Others had cruel mockings and scourgings and bonds of imprisonment. You get it? You get it? This is you. Someday you're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to be compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And they're going to be talking about, boy, when I was down there, Jeff is going to be telling us this story. He's going to tell us what he did. We're going to hear about. And these women who received their dead raised to life again, they're going to be telling their story. We're going to hear it. And they're going to look at you. You're going to say, well, I was an usher at my church. I took some beans and ham down to the homeless. Really? Well, God bless you. God bless you. They were stoned. Here's some more data. They were sewn asunder, cut in half. That'd be a story. We don't even know who it is. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted, tormented. The world wasn't worthy of them. The world wasn't even worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, they didn't even receive Christ. They didn't even receive the promise. They did something when they hadn't even seen the promise. But God, having provided something better for them, they're waiting on us. You know what it says? What's that last verse says? That they without us, they're waiting on us, boys. They're waiting on us. And we're sitting in the church waiting on the rapture. Unbelievable. Somebody come on in here. I gotta catch my breath. I'm starting to sweat. Come on. Come in here, somebody.
You know, the by faith part, one of the six fundamental elements or foundational principles of Christ, as Hebrews calls it, is faith toward God. Our daily walks, everything we do, should be by faith. So there should be nothing exceptional about by faith, a bunch of men gathered together in, you know, Columbus, Ohio, to stand for the truth of God's word. It should be a given. It shouldn't be something that's exceptional or needs, you know, it should be a given.
It should be. Well, present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is the least we can do. It's a reasonable, you know what it says, reasonable service. And so they look at us and they think there's something wrong with us. They think we're crazy. Our church brethren sitting in that church, stuck in that box, think we're crazy. And so you go share with your friends, hey, I just came across this. This is unbelievable. Man, oh, man, is my faith building. And the next thing you know, your friends are saying, I'll stay away from that guy. Stay away from there. I don't find that stuff in the Bible. Stay away from there. Yeah, that's right. All that data that's in there. How about this? Enoch walked with God and then was no more. What does that mean? What's the data? What's the story of that? Wouldn't you like to hear that story? Enoch walked with God. What about when it says in there, there were in those, well, Genesis 6. Go to Genesis 6 real quick, Jared. There's no curiosity, no intellectual curiosity. We don't read the Bible, and if we do read it, we're not intellectually curious. Genesis 6. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that were fair, and they took them wives of all which they choose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall always strive with man, for that he is also his flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. And verse 4, just data that doesn't even make you curious. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. The sons of God came into the daughters of men. They bare children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that wickedness. A lot of data there. A lot of data. And how many times you go to church and some pastor reads this and brushes right over the top? Brushes right over that data. And there were in those days giants in those days. And after? Then, huh? You ever want to do this? Pardon me. Huh?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, I it strikes me hearing you preach on the homo issue, not just the church, but the whole so-called pro-family movement defines itself by what it can't do rather than what it can do. Everything is what we can't do. We can't defeat marriage. Hey, marriage, that's over. We can't do this. All we can do is this little tiny circumscribed
we can pray for him, Peter. Yeah, we can pray for him, and maybe we don't have to bake a cake for him. But other than that, you're right, brother. Huh? And Jesus said, I can do all things, right? All things through all the things that we can do, and we ain't doing. We just ain't doing them. Because there's no intellectual curiosity at all. None. And so we sit around and we wait for, I don't even know why. Pete, you still coming?
Yeah, I'm coming.
Hey, buddy, between me and you, I scouted that place out too. Oh, my goodness, Pete. Don't breathe a word of it, Pete. Don't breathe a word. Going to be some surprises. Going to be some.
Hey, Coach. Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, one good thing about this, as you're talking, you're pumping up a lot of people out there. Don't have the courage. A year ago, I was sitting there listening to you and about faith. And getting off the couch and going and doing something. And there's a lot of fear out there. And I know there's thousands and thousands of people that are listening to this. Lots of us, them are in the area. And I just want to encourage you that you will not be marked in God's great book about your own faith if you do not get out there and put your feet into action. All you have to do a lot, like Coach says, a lot, is just stand there with him. You don't have to speak. You don't have to do nothing. You just have to be there.
Just hold a sign.
Amen.
Just hold a sign. You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to do anything. What are you afraid of? We're called into this battle. Hey, when's the last time one of your buddies was sewn asunder? Huh? When did that happen to you? When's the last time you see him burned at the stake? It's happened before. And are those days coming again? I don't know. Thank you, Ray. Thanks for the encouragement. Man, I'm on fire. I'm start sweating. Yes.
Those days are here in the world. We just happen to think the Christian church is just in America. In the world,
that's right, man.
In the world, which is God's area, in the world, all of this is taking place. I think what's interesting when you just read there, the heroes of faith, I think of Noah. Can you imagine the ridicule?
Unbelievable. Huh?
The ridicule. The continual building of a boat. And how people probably came out and laughed at him.
It had never rained. It had never rained before that.
For what he was called to do. And we have to be prepared for that ridicule at times. That God has called us to think differently. The huddle men that I've met and talked to, we just think so different. And you are ridiculed. You're like, people look at you like you are a nut. But we're in good company. I just was looking at Noah. Imagine what people said about Noah. He must be a nut.
And he was, right? But we still mention his name today. Everybody knows him. Everybody knows him today. They laughed at him at that time. Everybody. Listen, hey, I'm telling you, some of you need to come. Some of you can still come. Some of you are 3 hours away, 4 hours away. You can come. You can still come. You just choose not to. All hands on deck, and you decided that he ain't talking to me. Yeah.
Real quick, yeah, Jay. I could just speak as a testimony to the guys that maybe not are a little don't want to be in the front lines. I think one of the powerful things of coming is you're seeing you see what's going on. It's one thing to read about it, watch the news, but when you're there live and you see what's happening at the Gay Pride Parade, it changes you from a standpoint of when you go into conversations because you have seen it live. So I would encourage even the guy that's not quite ready to be in the trenches like you are, on that day, just to come to observe, just to watch, because it will change you.
Amen, Roger. Amen, baby. It will change you. Go ahead, George.
You know, Coach, what comes to mind is being a follower of Christ means we're obedient. And obedience, it's kind of a bad word today. People don't want to hear that word. Could we turn to Galatians 2:20? It talks about I've been crucified with Christ. I think that's a good verse for us to meditate on today.
All right.
Yes. Galatians 2:20. You know, it's not us that lives. It's Christ that lives in us. And that's a big difference. If it's us living, then it's self-centered, right? But if it's Christ living in us, then it's all about him working through us.
Verse 20, George, I'm crucified with Christ. Hey, boys, are you? Oh, man, thank you, Lord. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Or have you just received him? Are you crucified with him, or have you just received him? Are you crucified with him, or have you just accepted? Are you crucified with him, or have you just made a decision? Are you crucified with him, or have you given your life to him? Are you crucified with him, No, you ain't crucified with him. Somebody told you to come to Jesus and your life will be better. Some of you did, but you ain't crucified with him. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm still alive, yeah, but they me. But Christ lives in me. George, Christ lives in you. And the life that George now lives, he lives by the lives in the flesh. He lives by the faith of the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for him. So George just isn't saved. He's crucified. Most of you aren't crucified. Most people in the church, they aren't crucified. And if they are crucified, they're in a box. They got crucified, then they got stuck in a cave, and they're sitting in there. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness cometh by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, dear dead man, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. George, good word, man. Good word. Good word. Can you feel it? Can you feel the energy coming off me today? Boys, that's the Holy Ghost calling you. The Holy Ghost is calling you. Jared, go to Isaiah 4, I think it is. It might be 6.
Hey, Coach, as you're going there, what George is talking, I love that passage of scripture. I always use the analogy, I'm a dead man walking, which means I'm continuing. That's a life of Christ, but some are just dead. Brother, they're just dead. They're just dead. Floating in water. Are
pastors are dead. Come on, man. Churches are dead. Pastors are dead.
Brother, you can't call them a box. You got to call them what it is. I really, in my spirit, I see that those are literally gates of hell that has imprisoned the church, and they don't even realize it.
They put them in prison. Jared. Isaiah 6. Have you been crucified with Christ today, folks? Or did you just receive him? Did you just accept him? Is that all you did? You just accepted him? Did you just Facebook friend him? Are you and Jesus friends on Facebook? Is that what it is? We're Facebook friends. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphim, and each one had 6 wings. And with 2 he covered his face. With 2 of the wings they covered their feet. And with 2 of the wings they flew. By the way, they're all men. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved and shook at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. And then I said, whoa! Whoa is me. Because I never figured it was like this. Holy criminy, I've been going to church and I've been following religion, but I ain't never seen the Lord. And now I seem high and lifted up, and I'm undone because I am a man. Data, a lot of data.
Oh, Dave, he's our best friend. That God is our best friend.
Yes, Jesus' friend sticketh closer than a brother. Because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. See, I've been crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live. Some of you have just received him and just accepted him. Then I said, woe is me. Then flew one of the seraphims over to me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs of the altar. And he took and he touched it on my mouth. Woo! Woo! Live coal. Woo! And said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, yet this, don't miss this picture. The Lord, the King of Kings, just touched him and took away all of his sins. And the Lord has a sense of humor. What does he say? I heard the voice of the Lord saying, hey, is there anybody here I can send? Anybody here that'll go for me? Anybody? And Isaiah just got set free of his sins, saw the Lord, really saw, didn't accept the Lord or receive the Lord or ask Jesus into his heart. None of that. Isaiah went to a crucifixion, his own crucifixion. And after it's over, he says, anybody go for me? Hey, can anybody, I need some help. Or anybody help? And Isaiah looks around, feeling kind of uncomfortable. Says, I'll go. Will you go? Huh? Will you go? or if you're just Facebook friends with the Lord, Twitter friends. He sends tweets to you. You and the Lord tweet back.
Yes, hallelujah.
Amen, huh? Huh? Hey, David Arthur, do you know what you've been saved from, David? You know what you what? You know what a wretch you were? You know what you've been saved from? Huh? You know what you've been saved from? You won't even go stand up for him. You won't go stand up for those others who are trapped just like you. You won't go stand up for the Lord.
They better.
Your Facebook friends. You and Jesus' Facebook friends. Jesus is just all right with me. Jesus is just all right. Jesus is just all right with me. Jesus is just all right. No, he ain't all right with you. No, he ain't. No, he ain't. Ooh, somebody better come in here. I'm going to explode. Somebody come in here. It's all over me.
And then Jesus spoke on them also in the New Testament, brother. That's Isaiah. Who shall I send? I send you. And in the New Testament, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, he said, look up. He says, for the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. I send you into the fields.
Send you into the fields. Amen. Amen. I know Jared's scrolling someplace else, but Isaiah said, here I am, Lord. Here I am, send me. What did the Lord say? And he said, go. See that, Jared? All right, verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And then I said, well, I guess there's anybody here but me. I'll go. He said, okay, dude, go. And do what? Tell this people. You go.
937.
You go, and you go tell these people. Hear ye indeed, but understand not. He said, you go tell their people that they hear me, but they don't understand, and they see, but they don't get it. And tell them that the heart of this people's fat and make their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart. Understand with their heart and converted and be healed. He said, how long, Lord? How long I got to go to that parade? And he said, until the cities be wasted without inhabitants and the house without man and the land be utterly desolate. That's how long you got to go. The Lord has removed men far away and there will be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Wow. Come on, man. Come on and join us. And you know what's going to be unbelievable? You are not going to believe the fellowship you're going to have with brothers. You will have fellowship like you ain't ever had. You are going to make lifelong friends this week. You're going to. You know something? You are going to be able to look in the eyes and watch Pastor Dale Socha worship the Lord. I'm telling you, you ain't going to believe. You're not going to believe what Pastor Dale Socha is going to do out on the streets. I got to find your guitar, Dale. I got to find your guitar. Out on the streets, out in front of those death abortion places, playing his guitar, worshiping the Lord. Doing it out on the streets. Oh, my goodness. If you miss this. Say, Coach,
Jeremiah 7.
You make
Jeremiah
me jump.
Jeremiah 7:27. This is why we shouldn't be discouraged when we go and the people don't listen. God told Jeremiah, I'm going to send you to the people and you're going to say everything I tell you to say. This is God speaking into Jeremiah. And Jeremiah thought he was so excited all the people were going to listen. And the Lord told him, he said, Jeremiah, they're not going to listen. I'm just telling you, they're not going to listen.
Amen. Verse 27, therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they ain't going to listen to you. That's what it says right there, Dale. And you shall call unto them, but they will not pay any attention to you, Dale. But thou shalt say unto them, this is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord, their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. So we got to go warn the wicked. That's what we got to go. I just thank God that he counted me worthy to get to do this. I just thank him so much. I'm not afraid. And hey, let me say this. I would pray that those of you out there, pray for us, okay? Pray God's protection around us. Now, we know Psalm 91, that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. We know that there shall be no evil befall us, and no plague come near our dwelling. We know that there'll be 1,000 fall at our left hand, 10,000 at our right hand, and shall not come near us. We know that. But we would appreciate your prayers. If you really, really go before the throne and just ask for that protection around us, protection against infiltration and whatever wiles of the devil, whatever they have planned for us, we are going to send home a bunch of Holy Ghost on fire, worn out men of God. It'll be a life changing. I'll move on. Somebody said, "God, Coach, quit talking about that." I mean, let's move on. Let's talk about whatever. Q&A.
Hey, Coach. Yeah. You know, when you say, you know, what I've been saved from, my life is not my own. And everybody should feel the same way. Not just because I was on my deathbed, I accepted that my life was over, I accepted that I was going to die. But everybody that lived in sin, they were on their deathbed and their life was over. And they better have accept that now, because just what we've come out of, our life is not our own. There is nothing that anybody can do to us that can take away anything that God has given to us. And so if something happened to me, my life is not my own. Every breath belongs to him. And that's how we better look at it.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
We're not out there on the streets, then we're not doing anything that we don't have. Then how do we even claim that we have Jesus dwelling within us if we're not doing what he's commissioned us to do?
Told us to go, brother. You know what it is, David? Some of them just want to continue to be T-ball players. They just want to play T-ball Christianity. Coach pitch. That's what they want. I want to go to church and play coach pitch. Don't throw it too hard. Don't throw it too high. And no strikeouts. And nobody's allowed to be out at first or out at second. Everybody gets to bat. That's what they want to play. They want to play T-ball. They want to play coach pitch Christianity.
My. God forbid.
No, Coach. They want to play two-hand touch football with the devil.
Yeah.
Instead of busting him up and taking him down.
Hey, Coach. Okay, this is Brother Jeff from Fallon.
Hey, Jeff.
I was at Planned Parenthood a few days ago, and this young lady came out claiming a Christian. And she asked me, "Why do you let the women feel so ashamed?" And I gave her scripture and instruction, and she had an aha moment.
So Jeff, say that again. She asked you, "Why do you make the women feel so ashamed?" Is that what she asked you, Jeff?
Yes, she did.
What happened to shame? Didn't I do that last week? Didn't I do a show on that last week? I think shame is a good thing. Shame breaks you down. Shame drives you to your knees. Shame lets you know that you need a savior. What do you mean? Why do you make them feel ashamed? They're going to go kill their baby. Don't make them ashamed. What? Hey, guys, these dudes at the gay pride parade prancing up and down the streets. Hold your ears. Get your children away. Get your children away. Mute it. Whatever. Do you know that those men doing that put their penises in the rectum of other men? Do you know that? Do you know that's what they do? And you think that's normal, and you think that's okay, and you think the Lord is okay with it, but Coach, don't shame them. They're out there saying pride. They're proud of it. So, Jeff, tell us what happened when we went to Newark. Jeff and some of them went to the little pride parade here in Newark, little old Newark, Ohio, just up the street from me. I was out of town. I couldn't go. But Jeff and Pastor Bill and about 10 guys went. Tell us what happened there, Jeff.
Well, Coach, it was good. You just read out of Hebrews 11, how they were stoned and cut apart. We made it through it safely. But it was, we all met in the parking lot, 10 of us. We had David Arthur's new tracks, the ones on the front that say, "I'm gay and you could be too." The tracks are really good. They worked well. So before we go in.
Hey, Jeff, can you order us a bunch for this weekend? Can we have some for this weekend?
Yeah, I got 1,000 of them for this one, but we can get more right away this week.
Okay. A thousand's enough because we got to get them out. You got to hand them out. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I can tell you this much. We got 300 of them out, and there was only about 1,000 people there, 1,200. We got 300 out. So what we did is we prayed up. We got ready to go in. Then Pastor Bill said, somebody stay with me with the GoPro and video. He was going to get on the bullhorn right away. And he said, the rest of you, go down through the whole crowd of people and get them tracks out. So as we went down through, a lot of people would just hand out a track and not say nothing. I couldn't resist. I had to share with each one of them that I handed out. I probably got 100 of them out, even to the transgenders that were there, the drag queens.
And by the way, they were all young kids, were they not?
Oh, yes. I'm telling you. There was only two churches there, the UCC and then one of them there from Newark area. I forget the name of it, but anyways, Neo Avenue Church.
So we went
down through there. And as I was putting these out to people, they would take it. And we really thought a lot of these were going, you know how they litter the place with them when you hand tracks out to them? Yeah. There was no litter on the ground. These people kept these tracks. Because I told them when I give it, I said, listen, Jesus could save you from this death style. And then I'd open it up and I'd show them David. I said, look at that, 30 years. I said, this guy come out of it, been healed of AIDS. We went through a lot of stuff with him as we're going down through there doing this. So we blanketed the place with the tracks. As I come back down, Pastor Bill's down there. At this point now, he's put the bullhorn away. He didn't need the bullhorn anymore. Now we have, I'd say, 1,000, 1,200 people that was there. Probably 70% of them were teenagers, 10, 12, 14, and 16 years old. Just kids. There was no real parade like what they have at Columbus. There was no family sitting around with strollers. This was just a hangout for them. So all the kids there. Now here they all come for the last 45 minutes. They're still got these tracks in their hands. And all we had at all times there for probably a good hour, 20, 30, 40 kids congregating around us. So us 10 each had somebody to talk to, and we got in some great conversations with all these kids because, I mean, they were just lost. You know what I mean? So we got some great one-on-one, but all 10 of us were busy constantly with these young kids trying to pull them out of this fire.
Let's cut to the chase here, Jeff. Did you do what the book of Acts said? Did you cause not a small stir in downtown Newark?
Oh, yes, we did, Coach. I got to share the one girl, Pastor Bill, we got done, and everybody said, wow, we got done. Everybody that was with us said, man, this was great. They were all excited that they come and just to go down and serve Jesus and lift the name of Jesus in that debauchery. But Pastor Bill said when we walked away, he said, this was the best event we have done in a long time because the kids were responsive to us. You know what I mean?
And you weren't overwhelmed by numbers either. That helps too.
Yeah, but the one girl there at the end, she was about 16 years old. She hung there the whole time. And of all the kids there, she was the one that talked to the most. She responded to us well. She ended up looked at Pastor Bill, and Pastor Bill said, thank you, young lady, for having such a decent conversation with me. He looked at her, he said, can I give you a hug? And she said, sure. She hugged him. He said, now, can we stay in contact? And she said, sure. So they exchanged numbers so they can text each other. He said, we walked away. He said, now I'm going to text that young lady every day, like the bishop told David Arthur. He's going to text her every day. You were not born that way.
Amen. Oh, praise the Lord, Jeff. Good work. Hey, listen, I want to wrap this up in this. I got 10 minutes. Like, I want to leave you on a good note. Hey, Jared, you think people are still trying to get in? We got 20. See, Jared's got a big screen in front of him. He's doing about 10 different jobs. Nobody trying to get in. Okay. Hey, listen, I want to leave you on a good note here. Can I do that? Is it okay? Sure, we can. Oh, I got so much to talk about. What do you want me to do, Lord? Okay, I'll do that. I was going to do something else. I'm going to do this. Hey, Jared, go to, I sent you, boy, I got a bunch of emails in here. Pull up for me, Jared, which says what the gospel is not. What the gospel is not. Remember this, fellas. The Bible says, I got this on Saturday from Preston. It went from Preston, but from Kelly, his wife. And I'm sorry, the last name, I'm sorry. David will find it, what the gospel is not. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It's not about accepting Jesus. It's not about receiving Jesus. It's not about asking him into your heart. It's not about following. It's not about any of that. You can do all that stuff you want to, but if the blood is not applied to your life, there is no remission of sin. When's the last time you heard the blood preached in your church? Huh? That's a great question. So it was Kelly who threw this screenshot up there, and I went and took a picture of it. And I want to show you this. See, people don't know the gospel. We can't share the gospel. We don't know the gospel. And unfortunately, the lost world knows we don't know it. They know it as well as we know it. We can't even explain it. So Kelly threw this thing up on the screen, and I don't know, look at this. Without, it says in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. So when we're sharing the gospel, we've got to get to the meat of it, okay? We got to get to the meat of it. And I want you to see some religious things that Kelly put up on the screen. I want you to look at it today. Number one, baptism. Is there any shedding of blood in baptism? No. Is there forgiveness of sins in baptism? No. What about calling on the Lord? Shedding of blood there? No. Forgiveness of sins? No. Ask Jesus into your heart. Is there shedding of blood there? No. Is there forgiveness of sins there? No. Turning over a new leaf? Shedding of blood? No. Forgiveness of sin? No. Asking him to save you? Is there shedding of blood there? No. Is there forgiveness of sin there? No. Turning from your sin? Is there shedding of blood there? No. Is there forgiveness of sins there? No. Confessing your sins? Is there shedding of blood there and confessing of your sins? No. Is there forgiveness of sins? No. Well, confessing Christ, is there blood there? No. Is there forgiveness of sins there? No. How about committing your life to Jesus? Is there shedding of blood there? No. Then there's no remission of sins, right? There's no forgiveness. What about if you commit your life to Christ? Is there shedding of blood there? Aren't these terms you hear in your church? Aren't these terms you hear in your church? Committing your life to Christ, shedding of blood, forgiveness of sins? No. How about this? Any of the church rituals that you might go through? Is there any shedding of blood in any of the church rituals? No. Is there forgiveness of your sins there? No. No, there isn't. What about making him Lord of all, or making him Lord of your life? Is there shedding of blood there? Well, no, then that's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. Hey, folks, that ain't the gospel. Is there forgiveness of sins and making him Lord of your life? No. How about keeping your promises to God? Is there shedding of blood there? No. Is there forgiveness of sins? No. How about Jesus' death on the cross? Is there shedding of blood there? Yeah. Is there forgiveness of sins there? Yeah. Do you see that? Do you see? See all the lingo and all the terms and all the words we use that basically have no power. And do you understand that many of the people who call themselves Christians have confessed Christ, confessed their sins, committed their life to Christ, have done all the church rituals. They've asked him to come into their heart. They've put him on. They've accepted him. They've received him. But without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 9:22. Is that unbelievable? Is the blood preached in your church? The shedding of blood, is it preached in your church? Somebody come on in here. Anybody get the revelation I got when I saw that? I jumped up and took a picture of the screen. That's why we're losing. Right there it is. That's why it is. Because you know why? Because you're going to run into homosexuals down there on Saturday who have what? Confessed Christ. Who've committed their life to him, who have asked him into their hearts, who've asked them to save him, who have turned over a new leaf. There are going to be sodomites down there who call on the name of the Lord. But without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It's all about the cross. And we don't preach the cross and him crucified. We don't preach it. Come on in.
Yeah, And in the book of Acts, you see the seven sons of Sceva. Brother, they preached Jesus. They were casting out devils. And he says, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but I don't know you. I don't see the blood.
Who are you, dude? I don't know you. It ain't religion. Ain't religion going to save you. No, no. You ain't gonna be saved in that box that you're sitting in if you think so. You got to come out of that box. Holy, holy, free. Come out. Come out wherever you are. Yeah, Larry.
You are absolutely 100% right that the shedding of Jesus' blood on the cross is for the forgiveness of those sins that we committed before we came to Jesus. And without that sacrifice and his blood on the cross, we have no, zero, not a hope of ever having a relationship with God the Father as a son or a daughter of his. However,
that's why,
if you read Matthew chapter 18, verse 35.
Of what?
Matthew chapter 18, 35. All right. Now, this goes to the picture of the gospel. You said, we don't know the gospel. Well, we don't know the gospel. Because the good news is that we're all separated from God. Jesus died on the cross so that we could end that separation and we can come into relationship with God the Father. But Matthew chapter 18, Jesus told about a forgiveness situation, and everybody probably knows it. You can go back and read it. But then Jesus said this, verse 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father, I think he's talking about God the Father, do also unto you. My foot says, my heavenly Father is going to do to you what I just told you about with this situation. He says, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother, your brothers and sisters, not the whole world, but if you don't forgive your brothers and sisters, their trespasses. So what the master did is he unforgave the guy that he forgave the sin, the debt for. He says, my Father is not going to forgive you if you don't forgive your brothers, everyone, their trespasses. And it was such an important lesson that when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, he taught them to remind themselves of this fact daily when they pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The forgiveness of sin requires the blood of Jesus for those sins committed before you become a member of the family. Once you're a member of the family, the rule book was rewritten. You've got to forgive your brothers and sisters before you get forgiven.
Amen. That's I'm reminded of what J.R. often says in regards to the whole race relations things, right? Our black brothers and sisters are not taught to forgive. They want restitution, right? Huh? Where's forgiveness? Oh, that is a whole different story. So listen, man, still got time to be part of it. If you want to join us, just send me an email. Listen, do me a favor, send me an email if you are going to join us. I sent out an email today, and you may not have gotten one. And if you didn't get one, and you're coming. If you didn't get an email and you're coming, that means you're not on the list. And you're saying, well, coach, I told you I was coming. I know. I got a million things in my head. If you are coming, send me an email, say I'm coming. And it might be helpful if you told me when you were going to arrive. This is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We're going to begin the ministry on Friday. How far can you drive in 3 days? Huh? All hands on deck. The Lord hath need of you. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.